Maybe there's someone else that came in and their team won yesterday. And then some of us come in and maybe we've experienced a loss. Some of us come in and we have a new cosmetic wrap on our leg, right, Michaela? And the thing that came to me while we were praying is that we're not wearing a sign. No one knows where we're coming from. No one knows what we're experiencing in that moment. But what the Lord says is that he's strong enough to hold us. He's strong enough to hold. You think about a kid that, like when Joseph was celebrating his birthday, he was just on fire. He was lit up. When I was grieving a loss of a friend, I was sad. I was broken down. And do you know that the Lord's hands are strong enough to hold us? We're all in a different place, but he's big enough and strong enough to hold us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on. Many of you know Jen Cesario, and many of you are walking through your relationship with her as she is rejoicing in heaven right now. There is a memorial on Sunday the 24th. That is in, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday in Michigan. I know we had a celebration here. I'm trying to find out if that's going to be online. So just because we don't mention this every Sunday doesn't mean it's not right here on the top of our minds and real deep right here in our hearts. Some of you didn't know Jen, and maybe you're intrigued by the Jen phenomenon. She is a phenomenon. Maybe you need to ask someone, say, who was that? Who tell me about Jen. Let the ministry of Jen continue to live on in us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just checking. I also know that there's a phenomenal artwork displayed. It's getting ready to finish its course. I was told if you had decided to purchase a piece, you need to get with Steve Macon. So I'm just going to highlight that before those pieces go to their next place. So I'm reminded of that. I'm also reminded that sometimes people have a midweek Bible study, and that is great, and that's what is for that body. And for our body, I told someone this morning, it feels a little bit more like popcorn. Yesterday, there was about 30 of us in here for 3 hours, intensely pursuing the discipleship of the Lord. It was great. If you weren't here, there'll be another session in October, and I encourage you for that. But there are two women, and I'm so proud of them, Amy Belshan and Tamara Shimazona, that said, we're going to do the Shack Bible study. They got with Leon, and they're going to do it on Tuesday mornings. It's a different type of opportunity. So I would like to encourage you in that. There's an AMT coming this weekend, a whole weekend of discipleship. There's still space. Two spaces left. Oh, excuse me. So we want to make sure that you know about that. Wednesday nights is still a time of prayer and worship. Come on, we have three more weeks in this series. Am I right? Three? Well, you know. Maybe it's four. I'm not counting really well, but. And then I'm thinking about, as we're taking communion, that you got a handout today about this church picnic. It's a different type of phenomenon. Now, if you leave right after church, you can help with setup. And we still need about two more bodies for setup. You might say, well, I didn't sign up. Well, you still have time to hit the grocery store and meet us out there. We're going to eat at 3. Tell me this time. Yes, we're going to eat at 3. And then there's going to be water baptisms at 4:30. And you might be saying, oh, I forgot to sign up for water baptism. Well, there's still time for you, too. Right after church, though, I need you to come and see Mitch and Leah.
You should correct the directions to Leo because it says the Liberty intend. It should be Exxon. It's no longer Liberty.
Very good. Very good. You turn at the Exxon station. Get out your pen there. At that, is that an octagon? No, it's not an octagon. What is five sides? Pentagon. Just change the word Liberty to Exxon and be liberated there. You're turning right on Cascade, so directions there. Want to make sure that you know. If you didn't get what you signed up for, then get something. But come and share and break bread together. Bring your best bocce ball, cornhole, toss, volleyball, serve, kickball, kick. And we will serve dessert after the baptism. Oh, there was a dead silence on that one. Hey, look at the front of your bulletin. Do you know why it has these colored pencils? Because today we're doing Spotlight on Mission as Danielle and Ben come, and they're going to send us into a time of prayer about our friends and families across the United States. That's one way that we can be giving. We're going to be sending a team. We're not sure if it's to aid people on the coast or if it's people down in Texas. We'll be taking an offering then. We're going to study this course, and we're going to have a spotlight on our educators. And the word deserving was in the announcement. And someone said to me, how do you choose how do you select one educator out of another educator, and that one's deserving, and does that mean the other one? No. It means that God is allowing us to highlight an educator, maybe, depending on you, will be that we'll educators in Giles, in Montgomery County, Blacksburg, Radford, educator in Floyd, and we're just going to ask the Lord. He's told us how to do a random selection, and do you know that our random is not his random? And we're going to go into those schools, into those homes, into those private dwellings, into those private schools and say, Lord, this is how you told us to select this educator, and we're going to gift that educator, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to believe that God's hand is upon them, and that when they say they receive this gift in Jesus' name, they will be transformed. So you're giving today towards that. Some of you brought actual supplies. They're going to make bags and baskets and take your finances, and so Can you guys do a two? No, I'm going to pray. We're going to keep these separate. Lord, we thank you that we give today. We might be writing the check to Dwelling Place or going online and making that. This is our offering. It's over and above what we normally give because you're an over and above God. And we are taking an opportunity to make a difference in the highway and the byway called the schools, called the home schools, called the private schools, called the vessels who are saying, I'm going to make a sacrifice and sow and give into raising up this next generation. And Lord, we're going to partner with them and we're going to baptize them with some physical love in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we get to partner with you today as you do that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Tulio. Daniel asked us, I guess, if we would just pray for those impacted by the hurricanes and just pray in relationship to those just for a minute this morning. So before Daniel comes and shares the word, would you just agree with us as we pray? So Father God, we come to you. Father, you're the Lord of heaven and earth. God, you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And God, it might seem impossible at this juncture that this hurricane could turn and go somewhere that somebody wouldn't be impacted by it. But God, we just agree that nothing is impossible for you. God, we just ask that even now that you would begin to deconstruct that hurricane, that it would supernaturally, God, be downgraded from a category 5 to a 4 to a 3 to down to a tropical storm. God, we just agree that nothing is impossible for you. God, you are a supernatural God. You've done it before. God, we believe you can do it again. So we just speak peace to the storm. We speak calm to the storm, God, that you would cause it to become nothing, God, that you would nullify the things that are with the things that are not. God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, we just pray for all the families who are recovering from Harvey and the families in the islands who've already been hit by Irma. Lord God, we just pray your complete provision, protection, your blessing. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, you are provider and father, and we just bind your big heart to Father to those people in need in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Daniel, would you come? Can we just give Daniel a round of applause? God, we just thank you so much for Daniel. God, we just welcome him, God, with open arms, with open hearts. God, we just thank you for the word that you've given him, God, to just sow into our hearts and into the spirit this morning. God, we just bless him. We thank you for him. Just pray that your spirit would move in him and through him and among us here today mightily. God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben. Thanks, Danielle. Thank you, worship team. And I don't know about you, but I just feel the presence of the Lord when Ben prays. I mean, Am I the only one? I didn't mean to leave you out, Danielle, but I mean, you guys are like one anyway, right? Two is one, so. You guys all right this morning?
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys want to do something really easy? Or would you rather do something really difficult? Okay, so if you want to do something really easy, everyone just smile. That's actually easier than frowning. Yeah. Frowning is difficult. It requires a lot more muscle. It requires a lot more energy, a lot more effort. So if you want to just do something easy, just look at me and smile. It makes me feel good when you smile. So okay, we also want to pray for a moment. We want to pray for the fires that are out west. So maybe we could just ask that tropical storm to go from the east to the west and send rain and water out west. We just bless our families, our brothers and sisters, and the world out west, and ask God to send your rain out west in Jesus' name. You know, I believe this. It's not my message. But I believe this, that God has given us authority to cultivate and care for this earth. And part of the way we do that is we take the authority, right? We call where there's storms causing destruction, we cause them to calm, right? And we call the places that need rain, we call and ask God to send forth rain. He's given us that responsibility to care for this earth. And so we're just doing that. We're just agreeing with our assignment. We're agreeing with God's heart because we know that God doesn't send storms to destroy. He's not the taker of life. He is the giver of life, and he gives life abundantly. Amen? Amen? Jesus never blessed a storm. There wasn't one single storm that Jesus blessed and said, I bless this storm to go cause destruction. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, storm be still. You're not going to cause harm. Storm be still. So God is good. He's faithful. And we thank you, God, that you have such a good heart. Speaking of fires, this past weekend, or actually yesterday morning, my brother came and spent the day with us, and he was helping install a ductless split system in our basement to get some air conditioning and get some heating in our basement. And we were working on it, and I had it all prepped up and ready for him, but he actually does air conditioning and heating for a living, so he knows what he's doing. So he shows up, and I'm like, hey, be really careful. I noticed this morning there's a yellow jacket's nest between the garage and between we're doing the outdoor unit. So we're walking back and forth grabbing tools. And I mean, you know, those yellow jackets, they funnel in, and I mean, they're just one, two, I mean, they're in and they're out and they're in. I mean, just this steady flow all day. And so, you know, that's just war. You just got me fired up because not in my yard, right? I'm cultivating my yard. And my yard will have no yellow jackets, not in my yard. All right? You guys all right?
Yeah.
All right, so we got a game plan. Now, I usually take a mixture. I boil a bunch of water, and I pour in borax and any other chemical I can find in the under the sink or in the utility room. I just grab all the stuff. And so, but my brother was there and says, no, I usually burn them out. And so, and Val says, no, we're not burning them out. It's right next to the propane tank and underneath the deck. And but we taught our lesson, though, that diesel is not gasoline. Diesel doesn't burn like gasoline. I mean, diesel's a very nice, slow, soothing, calming burn. And so my brother said he's done this before, so he's my big brother. He's 3.5 years older than me, and I trust him, right? So he says, first thing we're going to soak this rag. So he soaks the rag, and then he starts pouring in diesel right in the hole. And, you know, we identified a couple other holes, and so we're pouring in the diesel, and he lights it, and sure enough, it's just a little soothing fire. It's not a big deal. The rag is burning on top of the hole. So 5 minutes into this, I'm like, this is lame. I mean, I don't see no bees burning. There's no excitement. There's nothing going on. I said, you know, I think those bees are a little deeper than that gas went. And so I went and got a shovel, and, you know, he's got his headlight, and I got my flashlight, and I take my shovel, and I just right at the hole. And I flip it, and I turn it up, and we're sitting there. We're just both. Now, let me back up. I got to remind you. We are underneath the deck, and the steps go up this way, and there's lattice this way, and there's only one little entrance in, and there's only one entrance. Do y'all see where I'm going with this story? Anybody following me? Are you tracking with me? So I dig it up, and you know, we're like this. We can't see nothing. You know, I'm like, this is boring, you know? So we're like this, and it's like all of a sudden like this fog comes up out of the ground, and it's not the smoke, right? So all these yellow jackets start coming up, and he turns and he runs. I have my shovel in my hand. I turn with the shovel, and he makes this noise. Ah! I thought he hit his head on the 2x6. So we run out of that little thing, and we run in the garage. And he's like, oh, I got stung. And he's like, oh, there's another one in his shirt. He throws off his shirt. He got stung twice. And I'm thinking, my brother's 3.5 years older than me. And so I go in the house, because I'm going to start boiling some water. We're going to my tactic next. And as I'm going in the house, I am just laughing. I am going up the steps, and I'm chuckling, and I'm laughing. And I get upstairs, and I was like, what happened? I'm like, Jake got stuck by Yellow Jackets. And, you know, this morning I'm like, why was that so funny to me? Well, he was my older brother, 3.5 years older than me. He tortured me. He was a brother batter. I mean, he battered me. And it felt so good to just accidentally get him back. I'm not kidding you. This is a true story, then we're going to get into a message here. One night, we're in the backyard as a kid. I'm younger than him. I worshiped the ground he walked on, and he wasn't like Jesus. He was not the best example to follow, but I followed him, so I made some mistakes because of my brother. So one night, we lived right on the Occoquan River, and what we would do is before it got dark, we would hose down sections of the backyard and go nightcrawler hunting. Anyone ever hunt for nightcrawlers? It's the coolest thing. You water your grass if you got nightcrawlers, and you wait till it's dark, and then you go out there with a flashlight, and those night crawlers are just spread out on the grass. And so, but they are super fast, and they sense any kind of movement, any kind of vibration on the ground. And so we're night crawler hunting one night, and my brother's shining the light, and I'm the picker. So he shines the light on the ground, and he goes, there's one. And before I got reached down and grabbed it, he moved the light, and I went down, and I picked up, and it wasn't a worm. We had a German Shepherd. It was a really big German Shepherd. And I picked it up, and yet it wasn't a worm. And so as I'm thinking about that this morning, I'm like, that Yellow Jacket got him good. So that's why it felt so good to see my brother get stung with a Yellow Jacket. I'm really not that mean. I'm not, but thank you, Lord. That felt really good. So we're about to kind of, yeah. So you guys, this is who we are. We are DP, Dwelling Place, New River Valley. Dwelling Place, New River Valley. Now, with that, there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is this. Mitch is getting nervous. He's like, what are you going with this? The bad news is that, man, we're in a valley. But the good news is there's a river rushing through this valley. And I don't know about you, but the good news far exceeds any bad news. There's a river running through our valley. And I felt like, just to pause for a moment, that maybe there's some people in here this morning that there's a valley season maybe in your life. And I just want to declare that there's a river flowing through that valley. That there's a river, and the river is full of life, and the river gives life. You know, and that valley can be a low place sometimes. And I believe this. I believe God has called Dwelling Place to be a representation of Him and His kingdom in this valley. And you know, and the water will go to the lowest places. And I believe this. I believe as we love well, and as we humble ourselves, and as we live lifestyles of honor, that the river's going to fill this church. The river's going to fill this place. And each one of us as representatives of Dwelling Place family, when we leave this place, when we go to our homes, when we go to our schools, we go to our workplaces, we're going to be that river. And we're going to go into any other places. When we come across valleys, we're going to be bringing waters of life, of living water to wherever we go. So that's the good news, that we are, there's a river that's flowing through this valley. And I just want to tell you, our mission this morning, we're going to go to the next slide. I just want to give thanks to my daughter Ashton. She put together this slide last night, so I really appreciate her putting together this slide. So here's our mission. Our mission is to be a family of hope-filled believers who make a difference in every area of life by encountering God's presence, embracing God's heart, empowering one another, and engaging the world. Now we're going to go back. We're going to take a look at a picture. I want us to look at this picture. Here's a picture. It's really cool. Friday morning, I was having breakfast with Rob Agnew. Rob's sitting right over here, and he's doing some drawing. And we were having breakfast, and I was just sharing with him what was on my heart. I was telling him what I was going to share on Sunday morning, and just begin to share the details. And I know it's kind of hard to see that, so I'm just going to describe a few moments. We were talking about the river going through the valley, that we live in the New River Valley. And so he began to draw this picture. And so on the left, a few weeks ago, if you could imagine this, on this left side over here, you see that big mountain on the left side right there? And in between there is the water, and the water is flowing. Well, a few weeks ago, Rick introduced something to us. And I thought he did a really good job. It's a hard message to give on a Sunday morning, but he began to talk about dwelling place, the governmental structure of dwelling place. And as he began to share that, he talked a little bit about how dwelling place, we have elders, we have deacons, we have a fivefold ministry, and we have apostolic oversight. And so, Mitch and Leah, would you guys stand up for a second? You guys, Mitch and Leah oversee the elder ministry in this church. So can you guys smile or just give them a hand or something, just make them feel warm. Mitch and Leah oversee the elder, the oversight of the elder ministry. Is Tulio in here this morning? T's right back there. Everyone look back there, back to T. Hey, Tulio. Tulio gave announcements this morning. Tulio oversees the deacon ministry of Dwelling Place. And I oversee the fivefold ministry, which, pray for me. This is, we're really birthing, we believed in the fivefold for a long, long time, but we're actually believing God and moving towards seeing a fivefold ministry be birthed and established here in Dwelling Place. And not only that, so these are like forms of government, just provide structure within this house, within this family. But there's also an apostolic oversight. Now, is anyone on the apostolic oversight team here this morning? I know Size is in Smith Mountain Lake, but do we have Joe or Leanne? Oh, I mean, Jared. Jared's back there. Everyone say hey to Jared. Jared is part of the team, the apostolic team that provides oversight for Dwelling Place. And I love the team. It's a phenomenal team. It's made up of Rick. It's made up of Jared. It's made up of Leanne. And they each carry these apostolic giftings that really form just an awesome, awesome team. So that's on the left side. So the left side over there. And then what? Last week, Joseph, who's from Lebanon, is right here. Let's definitely give Joseph a hand. Can we give Joseph a hand? Joseph is an awesome brother. And it was so cool that last week, Joseph was sharing on the Holy Spirit. Y'all, can you guys guess where the Holy Spirit is in this picture? Holy Spirit is the river flowing to the right of that mountain. Okay, so now today I want to share another aspect. Today I want to share on our mission. So if you could imagine with me on this right side over here, on the mission, I mean, we have things like mission on this side, like vision, and like core values. Okay, on this right side right here. All right, so Val, what's it? Am I talking? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's got slides for that.
Okay, yeah, we're going to move on to the slides. Okay, all right, sorry about that. See, I'm not too suave when it comes to that. My wife's speaking to me. I'm like, yes, dear. Are you saying something? She's usually the wise one, so I need to pay attention to it in the middle there. Okay, so yeah, so let's roll on to the next slide. There are other slides that we could do this. So here we go. So on this left side, this is sharing our governmental structures on this left side. Thank you, Ashton, for reminding me that. So there you have the elders, the deacons, the fivefold apostolic oversight. On this right side over here, you can say that's our philosophy of ministry. So right there is where your mission, your vision, and your core, that's where your core values are. Now, the next slide, can we go to the next slide? The next slide represents the river. And the river represents God's presence, God's heart, the glory of God, faith, hope, love, revival, cultural transformation, heaven to earth. Would y'all agree with me? It's about the river, right? It's all about the river. You know, and I think about when Jesus in the Bible talked about wine. But he also talked about wine in the context of wine skins. But no one ever drank a glass of wine and goes, man, that came from an amazing wineskin. That must have been a really good wineskin. You don't really recognize the wineskin. You're not paying a lot of attention to the wineskin because it's about the wine. And that's kind of the heart. All the wineskin does, it directs the flow of the wine. Because without a wineskin, the wine is just poured out on the ground and it's not good for anyone. But the wineskin actually provides direction for the movement of the wine. And see, that's all this is. When you start looking at the government and you start looking at this over here, and today we're going to talk a little bit about mission and our mission statement, In the several weeks to come, we're going to be sharing on different aspects. Mitch is going to share on an aspect. Rick is going to share on an aspect. Y'all, these aren't self-serving things. It's not about the government. It's not about the philosophy. All it does is it gives direction to the movement of the river. And we want it to be about the river. Amen? Because that's where we are at. We want, and you know, Rob was sharing with me a little bit more about the picture. So in the river, you see people are actually linked up and holding hands. Can you see that? Like, and they are on a journey. This is excitement. They are flowing. They are cruising. And the river's flowing out of the rock. Get that. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is up there. And you know what? Each hand is on an element. Each hand is on a side of the mountain. And you see his presence turns into water. The rock becomes the living water. And it's flowing in the valley. Do y'all believe that God has called us to be a reflection, a representation of the living water in this valley, in this New River Valley? That every business would represent the living water, that every household would represent the living water, that every student that goes to school would represent the living water, that the living water would flow in and through the New River Valley. Anybody excited about that? Yeah? All right, so what is the mission? The mission actually answers the question, why? So here it is. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why are we here? Why is Dwelling Place New River Valley here? Jesus came with purpose. Jesus was filled with purpose when he came to the earth. I bet you guys could list out several of the reasons that he came. But you know what he said? I've come to reveal who? The Father. In fact, he was so intent on that purpose, Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Now, that's pretty confident that you fulfilled your mission. If you could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus knew he came on a mission. And yet, did he come to destroy the works of the devil? Absolutely. But you know what I believe? I believe destroying the works of the devil reveals the heart of the Father. It reveals what he's like. He came, it said in Luke, I believe in Luke, he said he's come to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, and to cast out the demons. He said he came to seek and save the lost. Do you know what each one of those actions did? They revealed and pointed to his purpose for coming, to reveal what God the Father's like. And that's why if you've never seen Jesus bless a storm to destroy a city, have you? I haven't seen it. And he says, so you've got reasoning. Because that's not the heart of the Father. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He only spoke what he heard his Father saying. He said, my mission is to reveal the Father. Y'all, Jesus, God the Father, has given Dwelling Place a mission and an assignment in the New River Valley. You guys believe it? It's not my mission. It's not Mitch's mission. It's not Rick's mission. It's not Apostolic Oversight's mission. It's our mission. It's all of our mission. And here's the crazy thing is in my individual life, I carry purpose. I try to walk in a lot of purpose. I have purpose statements for my marriage. I know it sounds silly, but I've got purpose statements for my children. I got purpose statements for my community. Then I say, man, what is the purpose of this marriage right here? What is the purpose of my family? And every year, and a couple times a year, I pull those purpose statements out and I review them. I review them. Because they give you direction. They're not the water, but they give direction to the water. They give direction to my time, to my energy, to my resources, to my day-to-day activities. Because I love vision, and we're going to talk, mission and vision are not one and the same. Mission is not vision, and vision is not mission. They often get confused, but they're not one and the same. Mission answers the question, why are we here? What is our purpose? Vision actually begins to describe what that purpose looks like as you walk towards fulfillment. Quick example, God told Moses, he said, go into the promised land, right? What was the mission? To inherit the promises of God. That's the mission, right? You go get the promise that I gave you. It's this land. It's called the Promised Land because it's a promise. That's what God said. God's got a promise for each one of us. He's got a promise for this church. Don't you want to know what it is? What's God's promise for Dwelling Place NRV? But God's so good because he knows while mission can inform you, it doesn't always inspire you. When you just talk about purpose and the why, that doesn't always get people excited. They might just start counting the cost. You want us to go into that land where the giants are? Which means I might die? I don't feel overly inspired. And so what happens is we've got a mission. Cultural transformation in the New River Valley. Heaven to earth, revival in the New River Valley. Oh, and by the way, it will cost you your life. Anybody want to sign up? You're not overly inspired right now, are you? You're not overly excited, are you, right now, are you? Because we haven't cast a vision for that. And I want you to understand that we're not talking about vision this morning. So God tells Moses and tells Joshua and Caleb, right, to go into the promised land. And what does he tell them to do? Bring back what? Fruit. Now he's bringing them some vision. Fruit, so big that you have to carry it on poles. What can you do with fruit? How many of your senses are connected to fruit? You can see it. You can see, ooh, that's in the land we're going? Ooh, oh man, you can smell it, right? You can taste it. And all of a sudden, you're starting to think, wait, that's in that land over there. That's what the promised land looks like. That's what the promised land tastes like. That's what the promised land is filled with. Let's go fight for it. Let's go fight for it. So we're going to tell you this morning why. All right, and hopefully out of the why, you're going to see, we're going to begin to describe the vision that hopefully inspires you, because I realize mission doesn't always inspire you, but we are here to make sure that you understand. You've made sacrifices to be part of Dwelling Place, and I think it's only fair that leadership actually help you understand what is our mission. Why are we here? Why are we asking you to be here? Why are we asking you to sacrifice? Why are we asking you to give? Mission statement will provide direction. And when we go forward and we start getting involved in activities and we start getting involved in things, and this is not anything new, what we have already shared with you this morning. We've been doing activities for 17 years. We've had that mission statement on the foyer for I don't know how many years. It says what? Making a difference. What's it say? Encountering... Pursuing God's, right. So all we're doing is we're just, you know, it's been there. We've been doing activities. We've been doing things, but all we're trying to do is bring some clarity with it. I sat down with Rick last week, and man, we just really had a good time. Actually, Joseph, the three of us just sat down and we fellowshipped, and we just asked the Lord what the Lord was saying in this house and what he was speaking in this house, and it was such a sweet time. And y'all, I just want to tell you something. 17 years, Rick, and Rick's not the only one. I'm not meaning to leave anyone out of this. But for 17 years, elders, deacons, five, they didn't just come because we read a book on how to have government in a church. Y'all with me? There's been some blood, sweat, and tears over developing this system right here. And, you know, and the beautiful thing is this is a gift that Rick and others that have been here for a long time have given to us. And we're so blessed to have this. I believe this, y'all. I mean, I don't know, you know, for forever we were basically an elder-led church. We were asking elders to do things that elders shouldn't have done. They were getting bogged down. They were getting worn out. So now look, we're saying, look, the deacons are doing the stuff. Elders are overseeing the whole thing. Deacons are doing the stuff. Fivefold ministry is supposed to come in and provide empowerment and encouragement and to be equipped to go do the stuff. To go do the stuff. And so, you know, you think about this gift, this foundation that we've been given. And Rick's told you, you heard weeks ago when he was sharing, y'all, I'm not going anywhere. But Rick is going, you know what? Foundation's been laid. We've laid some foundation. Let's start building the first floor. Because you know what? What I'm noticing already, there's a generation that's already ready to start building on the second floor. Y'all know? Are y'all with me? Yeah. There's a generation that's already nailing in nails on a second floor. And we're just saying, all right, we're with you. We're going to catch up to you. We're catching up. Try not to get frustrated. We're going to catch up, and we're going to build this thing together. Is anybody, is everybody doing okay out there so far? So why this message, y'all? We just want to mobilize. We want to mobilize. We want to unify, and we want to mobilize. We want to come together, and we want to do what God has called us to do. You know, if you watch the news all the time, you can be discouraged sometimes, right? But one thing Val pointed out to me, I'm not a big news watcher, but she pointed out to me, she said, it's so cool. What there was in Houston, there was people coming in camouflage John boats from all over the place. And, you know, they were in their waders, and they were in their camo, and they were in all this. And, you know, and people were helping people. And it didn't matter what color they were. It didn't matter what social economic level they were living on. And they were actually coming together helping one another. They were being mobilized. See, you want to be unified so we can be mobilized. We want to agree. Look, man, I say yes to this mission. I'm saying, you know, it's not fair to ask you to say yes to something if you don't know what that something is. Right? So it's only fair that you know what the mission is. You've got to know two questions before you can say yes to I want to be part of Dwelling Place Family. You have to know, who are they? What is their mission? Who are they? And what is their mission? And if we can communicate that clearly, then you could say, yes, that's my yes. That's what God's called me to. I want to join, and I want to participate with that. So we want to mobilize, and we want to get about doing what God's called us to do to prepare for service. Because this is an amazing church, and you guys are a group of amazing people. That's not lip service. I mean, I look out through this congregation, and I just see people that are not satisfied with sitting in pews. That's why we got chairs. I thought that sounded funny when I said that, but you guys, that was what you call a sympathy laugh right there. So, but no, you really are. I mean, there's leaders. There's just leaders. It's like, man, this is my life. I'm called to make a difference. I'm called to share God's love. I'm called to see heaven to earth. The glory of God be manifested. I mean, they're all over. And I just imagine, what if we mobilized? Like, we just really were mobilized. We came together and we were mobilized. I just think that the river could flow out of Dwelling Place in such a way that we could really see revival in the New River Valley. I'm not saying we're the only church. We're going to partner with other churches. I mean, we are ones doing phenomenal things with coming with other churches. But I'm just curious, does anyone want to see revival in the New River Valley?
Yes.
Six people want to see revival in the New River Valley. Do you guys realize the nations are coming to us in the New River Valley? The nations are coming to us. Now, they think they're coming because the New River Valley is a great place to live. They think they're coming because Virginia Tech is a great school. They think they're coming because of the hospitals. They think they're coming because of the communities. You know why they're coming? Jehovah Sneaky. Here's why they're coming, right here. The nations will come to the rising of your light. The nations will come to the rising of your light. Isaiah chapter 60. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The nations are coming. So you know what? The nations are coming to us. Let's be prepared for them. We could actually mobilize missionaries to go to how many different countries are represented, nations are represented. I'm sorry, I had a few statistics somewhere. Forgive me. There are 36 nations represented at Virginia Tech. 36 nations. This is just undergraduate. 1,540 are international students. We've got 1,500 plus international students. 36 nations represented at Virginia Tech. They're coming to the New River Valley. I propose that they came for more than education. They came for more than just a cool place to live for a few years. They've come to the light. God's called us to be a light in the New River Valley. And I tell you what, man, we're a lot better together than we are out there on our own. We are a lot better together than we are on our own. You're all in. And there's just a bunch of people that are all in. And we're all in. Let's get in together. And I'm not just talking about hype. I'm not trying to hype anyone up. I'm just saying the nations are coming to us right to our front door. The Bible says that the glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Imagine the glory of the Lord covering the New River Valley. You say, what is that? Is that some kind of mystical, like fog over the New River Valley? Is that some kind of, like, you know, is it just gold dust? Is it whatever? Man, it is the likeness of God. It is the character and nature of God being demonstrated and displayed. It is God's love on display. It is honor being demonstrated. It is service. It is giving. It is laying down our lives. That song, "So Will I." You lay down your life for others, so will I. It is truth. It is love. It is signs. It is wonders. It is miracles. It is healing. It is freedom. It is deliverance. That's what the glory of God looks like. It's his heart. It's his thoughts. It's his opinions. It's his weighty, manifest presence that's on display for all the nations to see. And when they see him, he's irresistible. And when they see the love of God, how will they not want the love of God? And when they see the wisdom of God, how will they not want the wisdom of God? Our mission statement, even the order of it, is very much, there's a purpose in this order. And so we can look at the, can we go back to slide number 2? Oh, back there, please. We're going to kind of go through this just kind of briefly. And like I said, Rick, Mitch, and myself, we're going to share a few different specific messages on this mission statement as we go along. And so, but I just want to kind of give you an overview of our mission statement. You see, first thing is this, that says that our mission is to be a family. Y'all, I really believe this, is that we got to be before we do. And when you do out of you what you be, it's very powerful. I know that's not good, necessarily good grammar, but when your doing comes out of your being, it is powerful. It's so powerful. That's the difference between me teaching you something and me imparting you something. We impart lives, we can teach lessons. But when this is who we are, and we truly are family, and they will know us by our love for one another, and we really do love one another, then we're imparting something. Paul said, man, you have a lot of teachers, but you don't have many fathers. I became a father to you. Why did Paul become a father to them? Because we're living amongst, in a planet amongst millions and millions of orphans. See, we're a family because God, at the very beginning, created Adam and Eve to be part of a family. They became one. And when God could have sent anyone, he could have sent a CEO, he could have sent a prophet, he could have sent a king, he could have sent, he was a prophet, he was a king. But who did he send? He sent a son. Why did he send a son when he could have sent all these other representatives? Because he wanted to show the world what a father's love is like and how a son loves the father, because he made us for family. And when we're moving and we're going to come to this great and glorious day, it's called a wedding. And the wedding is nothing but a family event where new families come together and they join and they create family. You guys, it's about family first, because here's the truth. We've got to celebrate people before we celebrate accomplishments. This is a lesson that I really got to work on. I'm a get her done kind of guy. I'm a doer. I mean, when I finish a project, you want to talk about pride and a sense of, whew, that feels so good. Especially that check I just got to put on that list. I love checks, and I love lists, and I love getting things done. So if I'm not careful, I can make it about a project. I can make it about accomplishment. But you know what God's saying? People are more important than accomplishments. See, when it's about family, you celebrate the members of the family. You celebrate your brothers and sisters. We honor the fathers and mothers. The mothers and fathers pour out their lives for the sons and daughters. See, we're family first. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for my own possession, so that you may proclaim his excellencies. See, you are so you can. And when we're doing it out of who we are, it's not performance. When we do what we do because of who we are, we're not performing, we're imparting, we're giving, we're laying down our lives. There's a difference between someone who can sing and a singer. I've been asking the worship team, for a solo for a while. I'm not a singer. I'm someone who can sing, and therefore they said no. There's a difference between someone who dances and a dancer. I can dance. I'm not a dancer. But you know, when you watch a dancer, you go, whoa. Yeah. And when you hear someone that's God has created them to sing, and they're a singer, you go, whoa. I feel God on that. I see God on that. You know? When Ben prays, I go, whoa. I feel God on that. I sense God on that. When Mitch pastors, loves on people, I go, whoa, I see God on that. When Tulio administrates and gets all these moving parts put together, I go, whoa, I really see God on that. A lot of times we just think, oh, if there's not cloud, if there's not smoke, if we don't have tongues and interpretation, and someone's not getting up out of a wheelchair, we're not seeing the manifest presence of God. I beg to differ. We see the goodness of God every time we see his nature and character and likeness displayed. And he displays a unique aspect of who he is through each and every one of us. And the worst thing that we could ever do is try to be someone else, because then everyone else in the world misses that aspect of who he is. You are God's gift to this world. You are the manifestation, the display of his goodness, his kindness, and his love, his glory. How do you think the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea? It's you. Look at your neighbor. It's you. It's you. Do you know that Christ is the hope of glory? It's the manifestation of Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. You were made for glory. You were created for glory. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. We focus on the far off, sinned and fallen short, but what we fail to recognize is that the glory of God was the intended target all along. You were made for the glory of God. You were created for the glory of God. You are the glory of God. And you know what it says? It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you that is the hope of the glory for everyone else out there. And they don't know it, but they're living for the hope of the glory. They are living for glory. They are living to encounter glory. They are living to experience glory. And the Bible says, it's in you. The hope of glory is Christ in you. My nephew, Kendrick, when he was little, he asked my sister, where's Christ? Where? I don't know if he said Christ. Where's Jesus? Where's God? And my sister said, he's in you. And he goes, when's he going to come out? That's a great question. And I better get through the rest of these. I'm not preaching a sermon on each one of these. So, hope-filled believers. Do you notice that the hope-filled believers precedes making a difference in every area of life? Because I believe that in the church, this is true. We don't gain influence because of we hold some big positions. We don't go in the world and go, I am a prophet. I am apostle such and such. You know, it means nothing to the world. You know how we gain influence in the world? By giving hope. When we give hope, people want to hear what you have to say. When you come into a situation and you have answers that no one else has, and you have love that no one else has, and you have joy that no one else has, and then they go, where did that come from? How come your family is such an amazing family? How do you have peace in the midst of this storm? And you say, let me share something with you. The hope of glory is Christ in me. And you begin to share. So he, and I've heard this, I didn't read it. He who gives the most hope will have the most influence. Y'all want to influence this world? We're not changing the world because of a power position. We're not changing the world because I'm a son of God. Pay attention to me. I'm the king's kid. Listen to me. That's not how we're going to win the world. That's not how we're going to do it. We're going to give hope. So making a difference in every area of life. You know where the kingdom of God is at? It's in you. It's in you, right? So here's where it's going to start. The difference has to start here. And I love Dwelling Place because Dwelling Place is built upon a foundation of heart and healing inside. This is a don't clean. You don't have to clean your act all together on the outside. You know, you clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and the rest will follow. Right? I love that about Dwelling Place. Because if we're going to raise up a bunch of revivalists, any revivalists in here? Don't be shy. One more time. Is there any revivalists in here? Yeah. One more time. If there's any revivalists, could you make a little noise in here? Hey, that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to be ashamed of. All right? I forgot what I was saying. The kingdom of God is within you. See, before I display it out of me, it needs to be cultivated within me. And what you cultivate in here, you will reproduce out here. What I cultivate inside here will be reproduced. So it starts with me. It starts with my marriage. It starts with my family. It starts with my neighbors. We want to make a difference in every area of life. How many of y'all know I don't like the New England Patriots? That was not an accident. I don't like them, but you know what? I love the way they play. You know why? It's pedal to the metal. We're up 49-7. Let's score again, boys. Let's punch it in. Y'all, that's the kingdom of God. He didn't put us on this earth to play defense. Let's protect our little kingdoms that we have. Let's not risk losing them. We don't want to offend anybody. Yeah. Go ye therefore. Make disciples of nations. Plural. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Go kick the enemy's butt. That's offense. That's offense. So, and this is my favorite part, encountering God's presence. If you notice, it's in the very center, and it's highlighted yellow. Do you know why? It's everything. His presence is everything. His presence. We're made for his presence. And when we don't live in his presence, nothing will satisfy. Being a family, we'll be dysfunctional. We'll make a difference, but it won't count for a whole lot when we get to the end. We'll say, look at all this stuff I did. Yeah, look at all this stuff I did. I don't know you, and I don't know how you did all that, but it doesn't last. Because everything comes out of his presence. Everything. Do we want to make a difference? We got to live in his presence. If we carry his presence into every situation, I pretty much guarantee you'll make a difference. And if we center, if we gather. See, Sunday mornings is not the only time we gather, but when we gather Sunday mornings, your heart is unapologetically about his presence, right? We're here first and foremost to worship, to minister to God, to bless him. Absolutely, unapologetically. We're a God-seeking church. We want to seek him first above everything else. Because in his presence, everything, I mean everything you need for life and godliness is provided in his presence. So his presence flows that way. But you know what? As you're in his presence and as you begin to spend time with him and you are looking at him and you are going face to face, you start becoming like him. It's an amazing principle. It's a scriptural principle that's absolutely true, that what you focus on, you become like. So when we get in his presence and we focus on him, we start to act like him. We act like him. And then we empower one another. We have to empower one another. We have to love one another. You know, my desire, you know, I get excited about seeing people run in purpose and destiny and calling and identity. I love to see people know who they are and do what God's called them to do. I love it. And we want to empower a body of believers. Y'all, we need to make some room. The NRV is growing at a massive rate. I want us to have 3 services. You know why? I just love talking that much. No, y'all, this area is growing like mad. I mean, it is growing. There's so many people out there that have yet to have been reached. So many people. And so not only that, so we engage the world. He could go all the... All right, I need to close up, y'all. I really do. You guys, I'm serious though. Like, this is not hype. This is life. I want to say I love you. We want to do this together. We have an awesome apostolic team. We have, you know, Rick has been a blessing. He's laid so much foundation for you, and he's blessing the foundation. He is blessing us to run. He is blessing to carry this thing. Let's carry. Let's run well. Let's run together. Let's believe for what God wants to do in the New River Valley. Let's go. Let's go out there. Let's share the love of God. Let's encourage one another. Let's fail. Let's take risks so we fail, right? Let's pray for some of the grocery store and they don't get healed and come back and we celebrate the fact that we prayed for them, right? Let's just be the love of God in this community. Amen?
I'm going to have the worship team just come and